Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud is brought to you by Academy for Educators, online professional development for teachers and leaders, online courses, modules, and micro-credential programs for teachers to enhance their skill sets. Now featuring the Instructional Coaching Micro-Credential, including 5 online modules framed around the work of Steve Barkley. Learn, grow, inspire. AcademyForEducators.org.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Designing the environment. One of the opportunities I frequently have in a school is to walk through classrooms when teachers nor students are present. And I find it interesting that I can kind of take a look at the environment and predict what's happening during teaching and learning at that time. Compare the English classroom that I walked into that was broken into 3 sections. And one section looked more like a coffee shop with a little stage. And another area had the computers and technology present. And a third area had overstuffed couch and cushions. And you could just get the sense of what's happening when learners are in that environment. I've been in social studies classrooms that look more like a museum, or a science classroom that looks like a laboratory as soon as you walk in. Compare that to sometimes I walk into a classroom and I can't get a sense of what the content or what the focus of learning is from that environment that's been created. I recall being in an elementary classroom that was almost overstuffed with things. But when I looked over and spotted a glass enclosed, now you got to know this was in May, and glass enclosed in this case was the jack-o'-lantern from Halloween, and a sign on the outside of the casing said, "What is happening to Jack-o'-lantern?" And the pumpkin was all mushed down as it had deteriorated. And I can only guess the conversations that went on in that classroom and the writing that kids were doing about their experiences. I find the same thing often occurs when I show up at a school to do professional development and to work with teachers. And the difference between an administrator in charge of the program who made part of the time that teachers were going to spend in conversation and learning, they prepared the environment in advance. And whether it was a snack that was ready for people or whether it was a way that the furniture was set up, the design of that environment communicates a message. And I can get that sense immediately when I walk into another school and in the last minute they're trying to push some tables and chairs together. Or in some cases, the teachers are coming in and the teachers are having to look to make those modifications. Well, I just had the great experience. My partner, Michelle Catano, who is at the International School here in Basel, Switzerland, Michelle did a redesign of the environment of the lunchroom. And as Michelle and I have chatted about it, I'd ask her if she'd come on and join me in this podcast and share some of her experiences. So Michelle, thanks for taking the time here with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Would you talk a little bit about what caused you to decide that you wanted to make a change in that lunchroom environment at your school?
Well, I'd seen over a period of time that the lunchroom seemed more like an institution. It resembled, well, I guess, like a prison. It was in rows, and there were long rows. Kids sat. The the voice and the loudness in the room was extremely high, so two people couldn't have a conversation. There was a lot of dependency on the people who worked in the lunchroom and teachers who were on duty. Every time that the kids wanted something more, they needed to raise their hand. And it just seemed that that increased dependence was also increasing the unhealthy environment for the kids to eat.
I'm kind of hearing just the feeling wasn't right.
Well, so much so that it was the least desirable duty for teachers to have. So teachers would actually try to swap out anything.
Wow.
Take extra duties to avoid the equivalency of a 30-minute lunch duty.
So the environment was impacting the adults as well as impacting the kids.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just in the lunchroom that it was pervasive, but I don't think I really realized that until later on when we made the changes.
What's the process that you went through for coming up with a new plan? And then to tell us a little bit about the plan that you've created.
So I asked for a group of volunteers who were interested in looking at learning spaces. The lunchroom wasn't actually our original focus. It was a group of teachers who were interested in looking at how we might enhance and alter learning spaces to make it more conducive for kids. And so we had quite a healthy number of people who volunteered for that team, and we met once a week over their lunchtime, and we began by taking what we called field trips around the school, and we were looking at different areas and sharing our thoughts with you know what we were seeing. And then we decided that we needed to zero in on an area and do an experiment to see that if we actually altered the environment, what impact it would have. And thus we decided the lunchroom. First, because it has such an impact on the kids and teachers and the space, and but also because it was visible to the community. All teachers would be able to have an experience of our experiment. So everybody, we wouldn't have to be telling the story, but everybody would be seeing the story. So we chose the lunchroom, and we observed in the lunchroom the student behaviors to identify what kind of things that we were seeing and what kind of student behavior and outcomes we would like to have. First and foremost, we recognized that we wanted people to be, the students to be able to be more independent, and that we wanted them to treat each other with more respect and to take an ownership in what their lunchroom experience was. And so we set up three tables off to the side, and we took random kids. So every our lunches, we have three sittings of lunch, and so first and second grade.
A group for each of the three settings.
Yes.
Is your experiment.
Yes. And with that, we designed it so that they were at tables of six, so they were in small groups. We gave them the control, so we brought them platters of food, and they had to help each other serve each other. In the initial experiment, we gave each person at the table a job, so to see if everybody had a responsibility, if they would live up to that responsibility. And we also gave them the freedom to, the responsibility to ensure that the table had been served, eaten, cleaned up, everything ready, and that they could then have, with that taking care of that responsibility, have the freedom to leave the lunchroom when they were done. So they didn't have to stand in these long lines that we had. We used to have long lines of kids standing to come into the lunchroom, lining up to get their trays. And then there was, students were dismissed table by table. And if you think that there's 45, 50 tables, you can imagine how loud and crazy that must have been. So they had the freedom to come and go. and they had the responsibility of what happened during the time there.
What did you discover in the experiment then that caused you to move to implementation at the start of the year?
Well, it was almost immediate that the kids rose to the occasion of taking the additional responsibility. Like, they took pride in it. They really loved that. They clearly loved the freedom, but they clearly loved the responsibility.
Yeah, those two things go together.
And also the behavior of what was happening at the table was completely different.
The environment impacted the kids' behavior.
They were talking in small groups. They, because they were responsible for everybody else's well-being at the table, to make sure that, if I'm pouring your water, if I'm passing you your food, if you've spilt your cup and I'm the one responsible with the sponge to clean up the table, they had a shared ownership and responsibility for each other's well-being. So it actually decreased the negative behaviors that we were seeing in the lunchroom. And it was just a very far more quiet, thoughtful kinds of conversations at the table.
So can you paint a picture for us? If the listeners were to be in your lunchroom today, can you kind of describe what happens as, what's the environment look like? And as kids walk in, what are the responsibilities that the kids take on?
So really anyone who previously had been in the lunchroom and is in the lunchroom now, it doesn't take more than 30 seconds to recognize it's just a completely, completely different environment and a completely different experience for the kids. And to the flip side, I can say that if we typically have three teachers on duty for lunch, you will often see 6 to 8 teachers in there. We have teachers who are actually sitting in there and eating their lunches with the kids now. So that's just to give you an impact of what it feels like. But now you walk in, there are no lines. Kids know that they can choose where they want to sit, with the exception that if you buy lunch from school, you need to sit at the tables that are for that, because on the tables are the serving dishes all stacked. The dishes are all stacked, bread, fruit, cups, silverware. So those kids sit together, and then those who bring it from home sit together. Kids come in, they choose where they're going to sit. The first ones to a table that is school lunch immediately start putting out the silverware, dishes, everything, while others begin to join. And they take the wrapper off the bread and the fruit. They sit down. They've got the whole table set. They start serving each other. They're passing it. They serve themselves the food. They pour each other's the water. I would say that one thing we found in the experiment is that you didn't have to impose the jobs. So that was the only thing in the experiment that we decided wasn't necessary.
So the kids actually take more responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's innate. It's actually comes from them. When we were doing the experiment, we thought that you would have to impose that upon them, but that was glorified dependence in its own way. So these kids, they all take ownership of everybody else's well-being. They're choosing who they're sitting with, and they're having genuine conversations. Teachers are floating around and encouraging kids to put their feet out straight, sit, stay a while, enjoy yourself, relax, be mindful of your voice. Do you really need to be speaking that loudly? I'm noticing that such and such across the table has still not had some of the rice. Ah, and they'll quickly be passing it. So all of those are very learned behaviors.
Awesome. So you see the kids learning from this experience.
Not only the kids. It's definitely, as I say, teachers, as amazing as that may sound, are flocking to the lunchroom because they themselves are gaining so much from that experience. And a lot of them are taking what is happening in the lunchroom, and they're making connections to it, what's happening in the classroom, what's happening in the hallways or out on the playground. And we've actually begun to see a shift in how kids treat each other in other parts of the school. It was something that I would have not expected. I hadn't given it thought. But of course, if you take 30 minutes in the middle of the day and it's pure focus on family, relationships, and being purposeful and responsible and setting those high expectations for how kids should be treating each other, they are just less likely to go out on the playground after that lunch and push somebody over and not care whether they're all right or not. We're seeing it in other areas.
It's interesting. Family was the word that was in my head as you were describing it, and then you came back and used that word.
Well, we actually call it family style.
Ah. Terrific.
So the kids understand that we've switched. We don't call it, the old prison like style. You know, we refer to it as we're now eating family style.
That's neat. You got a comment of what you'd say you've learned personally from this in as an educator that you think you'd carry forth?
Well, I'm amazed at how much we as educators overly scaffold for kids. You know, there have been many times that a teacher may be anxious to serve or to pour or to do this or to clean up and do that. And with a gentle reminder, it's the kids that are supposed to be doing it. Often the response will be, but they can't, they don't know how to. Well, they're not going to learn how to until they do.
Creating the opportunity for the kids to learn.
And being comfortable with it being messy along that process. So a teacher and I might be looking at a table and watching a child struggling to pour the water. And more than step in and move the cup over a little bit or suggest that they hold it like this, that the spout is actually guided into the glass, but beyond giving that kind of feedback, if they pour and they spill, there's somebody at the table who's got a sponge and is going to clean up. And I've seen the impact and the power of, as the kids develop that, I've seen 5-year-olds pour the water successfully after a few days of continuously missing the spout to the cup and just squealing with joy that she can't wait to tell her mom when her mom comes to pick her up that, you know, she could pour the water.
I hear you're coaching the kids rather than doing. You're coaching the kids how to learn rather than feed.
And that's not easy because it's far easier to do than to sit there and actually talk them through. So they pass these platters back and forth. Those are things that we as adults don't even actually think about. I never considered how to effectively pass a platter to the person next to me. But you actually need to hold it from the little handles rather than the side because that doesn't give you a good enough grip. So actually sit there and talk them through it. Nope, take it from the handles, reach over, or the water. You need to use your other hand to hold it to be able to do that. And then when this whole process is over, we have designed a process for them to be able to go and take their own dishes. They scrape off. So now we're being cautious of, you know, that food garbage is going into one container. They're separating out their food. They're separating out their silverware, their cups. They're putting everything away, and they're doing that completely independently. They go back. They clean it. They clean off the table with a sponge, and they push in their seats. And when they're ready to go, they go. And the whole experience is.
Well, I can see opportunities here where both the kids and the teachers are taking the learning from that spot and having the chance to apply it back in the classrooms and throughout your school. Michelle, I really appreciate you doing this whole thing. I'm wondering, would you be okay if there were people who wanted to get into the specifics of this with you, that they drop me an email or a note here and I'll connect them with you?
Absolutely, but I wouldn't leave it to the just redesigning lunchrooms. It's really rethinking about learning spaces, and you really need to go through a process of testing out your theories. I was also so surprised to see that some of the things that we assumed, if we had actually implemented those would not have been accurate. So it's
so
more,
you may have to make some mistakes as part of our learning with this
absolutely.
Environment piece.
But I would be happy to.
Thank you. Folks, think about how you design environment to have the impact you're looking for on teaching and learning.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.